The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We are off and running here, middle of the week. Philip is up next. How are you, Philip?
Hey, Paul. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Paul, let me try to bring some sanity to the calling in about Alabama. It's the second week of the season. I'm unique, I suppose, among your viewers. I can remember the Whitworth era at Alabama when we won four games in 3 years. But, you know, it was tough going to school, going to church, going to work that Monday after the games. But we did because we were Alabama fans, and we figured it's got to get better, and it did. But we played two games. We played Texas, a team which I think is going to have its biggest game is going to be next week. Texas did the same thing, I believe, that Notre Dame did. Notre Dame put all of its 2022 eggs in the Ohio State basket. Served them well for one half, and then they lost. You saw what happened to them the next game. They got beaten by a team they should have beaten four touchdowns. Texas was preparing for Alabama last May. Not the defensive coordinator, but what they call him, the executive in charge of defense, the guy from TCU, Gary Patterson.
Gary Patterson, his name? Sure.
Started working on this, on the game plan to defend against Alabama in May. He spent three months and 2 weeks on that game. They put all their eggs in the Alabama basket. It almost worked for them, but it didn't. And now they've got to deal with the fact that they've got 10 more games to play in the regular season. I don't know how that's going to work for them. I'm not connected in any way to the Texas program. So I hope they overcome it. I have no reason to dislike Texas. I like Sarkisian and appreciate what he did for us. But let's be realistic. This playing a good team out there in the heat, second game of the season, we got some problems, but I'm betting on Saban. I think he's going to overcome it. I think he's got the talent. I think this week they'll beat up on La Monroe. I think they'll take on Vanderbilt and take care of them. Then the test will come when we go to Arkansas. That's not going to be an easy game, but I think we'll handle it. I hope we do. But let me say one other thing about that little twit who calls himself Legend. I won't comment on why somebody thinks that they deserve the name Legend, but, Paul, remember last year after the Florida game, Legend called in and demanded, didn't say what ought to happen, he demanded that Golden be discharged because Golden had let Florida score 29 points on Alabama. Well, as soon as he called, as soon as he hung up, I called in and pointed out that Golden had put in a perfect defense for the two-point conversion Florida tried to use to tie the game at the end of regulation. And Legend had no response. He's got the quick number to get in. He could have called back, but he had no response. Legend cares only about making noise. If you ever see him at a game, he's down there 48 hours before game time, setting up his tent and his apparatus and getting his signs up, walking around glad-handing. Legend uses the Feinbaum program as advertisement for his shill that he's working, and it suits his purpose to call in and criticize Golden. I think our defensive coordinator's done a great job. Remember, we got to the national championship game last year in a rebuilding year. I don't think this is going to be a rebuilding year. I think we're going to be just fine. But it doesn't help anything for a guy like Golden, a guy like Legend, to criticize anybody. He knows less about football than he knows about thoracic surgery. So I appreciate that you let everybody talk. I appreciate you letting me talk, but I've just about had it with the legends of the world that know how to complain and toot their own horn, but he doesn't have Alabama at heart. He doesn't care anything about Alabama. He cares about legend. Thank you for letting
me have
Thank
you very much, Phil. Appreciate it. Manny is up next in Austin. Hello, Manny.
Well, I sure as hell don't appreciate you letting guys like that talk, because I got better things to do with my time than listen to somebody yak along about nothing. I mean, what the hell is that, Paul? Let me tell you something, Paul. I'm calling to agree for the first time with my man Legend. He's right. Alabama got out-schemed. They got outplayed. They got outclassed. Saban got outclassed. Pete Golding got outclassed. Everybody in Alabama got outclassed. But my boy, Steve Sarkisian, and the Texas offensive staff and the Texas players. And that was sure as hell a dirty play by Dallas Turner. I don't care what you say. You can defend him all you want. That rule has been in the playbook for a long time. You're not supposed to power drive quarterbacks into the ground. There's a reason for that. Because if Quinn Ewers remains in that game, Paul, you know and I know, we killed Alabama by at least 2 touchdowns. There ain't no way in hell we don't beat them. Quinn Ewers was dicing them up. He was throwing dots left and right throughout the field. 9-12 for 134 yards in the first quarter? Come on, man. There was no way you guys were coming in and beating Texas. And I told you last year, Jordan Whittington and Bijan Robertson were going to be ready, and they were. And let me tell something else to the Alabama fans out there freaking out. You better freak out, because we're not even in the SEC yet, baby. We're not even there yet, but we already loading up, and you saw what's coming. You saw Quinn Ewers. The dude's got an arm like freaking Patrick Mahomes. He can dice it all up and down the field. And next year when we go to Tuscaloosa and you don't have Bryce Young to bail you out and you don't have Will Anderson and you still have the same sorry-ass coaching staff you have in place right now, Pete Golden and Bill O'Brien, we're going to whip y'all all up and down the field, and it's going to stay that way for the entire time we're in the SEC until you run crying to another conference just like the Nebraska Cornhuskers did. All right? Remember that. Go look it up. Check it out. We're coming. You know it. I know it, Paul. Hook 'em.
Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, man. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all be happy. First of all, I don't think that was a dirty play, but I'm not going to get into that. But, hey Paul, I want to ask you a question about the polls and then Texas and then call out JK, if I may. Do you think if Texas would have been ranked around 19th or 20th that they would have moved up in the polls, or do you think they would have dropped?
I don't think they would have really moved up too much.
Yeah, me either. Hey, and I want JK to call in this week and talk about the Miami-Texas A&M game. See, JK's slick. He don't call in and talk about Miami, because if he knows he calls in and does all that bragging, when it turns around and bites him in the rear, he won't have anything else to say. The only thing JK does is call in and talk about Alabama. So I want him to talk about A&M this weekend, and let's get his predictions. And one other thing about the legend and Mr. Golding call yesterday, I am so glad you let both of them voice their opinion. As much as a right as Legend has to criticize and call in, your show also let Mr. Golding call in and give his opinion also. So I stand with both of them in your show and giving these people the opportunity to voice their opinion, Paul. And I just was really, really happy the way that you handled that situation.
Thank you very much, Trey. I appreciate it. Jim is next.
Okay, I'm going to tell you straight what I believe, and it's a straight shooting just like I usually try to do. I totally agree that Legion should be able to say anything he wants to. I agree with a lot of things he said. But I totally agree, and it's about time that somebody like Philip from Memphis said what he said. Tips of all my hats. I've got about 4 hats, and I tip all of them to Philip for what he said, because you're right, Philip. Legion, he ain't Legion. Legion don't care about nobody, nothing but Legion. And Paul knows it, and that's a fact. Thank you, Philip, for what you said. You're dead on target.
Jim agreeing with somebody. That's a major upset. Okay, we will take a break. More to come. Tom Luganville will join us with some real analysis. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here. Always good to see Tom Luganville in our studio. Tom, everybody trying to figure out Alabama's woes. And you've seen teams that are far worse. But
sure.
I mean, if you had to pinpoint what really is going on, because you study all of this, not only what we see and the recruiting, what's going on?
Well, first of all, the penalties were startling. You start the game off, you have a penalty on the kickoff return, you have a penalty on the first play from scrimmage, and then you get 13 more of them. And that's uncharacteristic of Alabama's nature, right? And so the sloppiness was concerning. The youth at wide receiver and the lack of speed to get over the top. And I think they're going to get Tyler Harrell back, likely get JoJo Earl back. They get those two guys back that might be able to open some things up vertically. I was a little surprised that they didn't attempt to run the football a little bit more aggressively, in the sense that they only had 24 attempted rushes. Well, 7 of those were Bryce Young, and one of those chunks was a big chunk of yardage. And so, you know, the way I've looked at this with Alabama, everything becomes over-magnified, Paul, when they don't play well. You know, the difference between their A game and their C game is so glaring that it sticks out. You know, it's like Clemson last year going 4-3. We become so conditioned to them just going out and dominating. And when they don't, it probably stands out more with them than it does with others. But I'll say this, and they won this game, but we've seen Alabama before when they either escape with scare or they lose. All right? Their last 10 games after a loss went 9-1. The only time they lost after a loss was the Sugar Bowl in 2013 to Oklahoma. So when they get scared or something gets their attention or they lose, it's usually bad news for the rest of the conference because they go scorched earth on everybody.
So in other words, Terry Bowden better get under his couch and because
well, I mean, honestly, I mean, I look, there's so much equity in the program to perform to a standard. They went out on a day, didn't play their best ball, was very sloppy, uncharacteristic to them. But for me, all that does is give Nick Saban all of his material back. Eventually, you start running out of material when you start making it look easy all the time. Right. Now he's got material.
And the next couple weeks will be easy, but then he goes to Arkansas in a few weeks.
Right.
Let me get to the real conundrum here, and that's Texas A&M, because they don't have time to work out problems. Yeah. They have Miami this week, and then Mississippi State and Arkansas and Alabama.
I was just startled. First of all, it was surprising they lost a game. That is a 10-4 team a year ago. App State, I think they're kind of the Boise State of the East Coast. But it was how they lost. They got physically whipped up front on both sides of the ball. That's just something that cannot happen. And you look at the numbers. I mean, App State attempted to rush the ball 52 times. Essentially was in control of the game by running the football on an SEC team playing in their own stadium. But conversely, Texas A&M. 18 attempted rushes. And that really, really surprised me. You know, we talk about the recruiting. We talk about all these classes. You go down their defensive stat chart, none of those guys in the defensive front that they signed last year even logged a tackle. All right? You have to go way down before you start to get to Levius Overton. So those guys maybe aren't quite ready yet, but I think the more glaring issue is what are they on offense? You know, what – Are they going to evolve? Are they going to get more creative? Are they going to up-tempo? Are they going to do some things that maybe help an athletic quarterback like Haynes King out to maybe maximize his skill set? Because when they couldn't run the football, they became one-dimensional. They were shut down.
They're taking on Miami. We know about the quarterback. Yeah. What does this matchup look like to you?
Well, athletically, I think it lines up really, really well. Now, Miami is much better in the offensive line than they've probably been in recent years. They've got themselves a running back that they can depend on. I still question whether or not they've got a slew of targets that can just make the difference. But the quarterback, I think, is a future first-rounder. I think Tyler Van Dyke is that good. You know, it's gonna be about the environment. It's going to be about handling – you know, going in there against a team that's backed into a corner like a snake and, you know, they're going to come out, they're going to be charged up. To me, if Miami plays clean, they've got an opportunity because athletically, I think they're a little bit further along than people thought they would be at this point. I think they've got a chance for this thing to go deep into the fourth quarter.
Talking to Tom Luganville, you saw Penn State last week. Yeah. They head to Auburn, and you know, no reason to put more pressure on Auburn than their own administration has.
Sure.
But how does this matchup look to you?
Well, obviously there's a quarterback edge with Penn State versus Auburn. Mm-hmm. You know, when Sean Clifford's healthy, Sean Clifford has proven to be a very good, productive player. Then they've got this true freshman who was our number one ranked kid in last year's class. He comes in and they've played him an awful lot, Drew Aller. He's a problem. Wouldn't be surprised if we see two quarterbacks playing there. I think Penn State has similar issues in their offensive line that maybe we saw with Alabama a little bit. And a concerted effort in the offseason by James Franklin to line up and run the ball. You saw it in the first quarter and a half versus Purdue. We saw it really, really strong against Ohio, where Ohio was outmanned. You've got two true freshman running backs in Penn State that are flat difference makers, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. They are Penn State's version of when Tank Bigsby hit the SEC for Auburn. The Mitchell Tinsley kid at wideout that transferred in from Western Kentucky is a go-to guy for them. And I think defensively, you can make an argument that they've got the best corner. When it's all said and done, we go into draft time, we go into Mel time, we go into Todd McShay time, Joey Porter Jr. is the guy that everybody's going to be throwing away from starting Saturday and for the rest of the season. He's that much of a difference maker. I'm going to be interested to see how Penn State handles that environment. James Franklin was talking to his football team this week about, hey, listen, you guys don't know what you're getting into here. He's the only guy in that room that can try and verbalize it, but you don't know it until you experience it.
The Auburn quarterback situation is hotly discussed.
Yeah.
What can you tell us, and what are the possibilities for them?
Well, I think the issue that you see is kind of what you see is what you get. What we've seen to this point is kind of what we've seen throughout the career of T.J. Finley. You know, you go back to T.J. Finley in the 2020 season when Miles Brennan went down. He had an opportunity to take the reins and run with it. Had five starts and just mildly ineffective. They put in Max Johnson. Max Johnson finishes out the season. So I kind of feel like for all of his athletic gifts, his production is what it is. I don't know if it's going to be any better. I don't know if it's going to be any worse. I think what it is it's spotty. It's streaky. And if Robbie Ashford's going to come in and play, that's great. But you've got a real problem if Robbie Ashford is your leading rusher. That cannot happen for Auburn if they want to be successful. And listen, you want to take pressure off the quarterbacks, effectively run the football, and now maybe you're going to open some things up downfield. And I think that Auburn's going to be a little bit more healthy at wide receiver. I know it's been a widely criticized position But they'll be better, I think, in this matchup with a guy or two back than they were in the previous two games.
And Tom, finally, we had Mike Leach on about an hour ago. People were really high on them. They beat two not great teams, but
right.
at least name brand teams in Memphis and Arizona. What about them as they go to Baton Rouge?
When the AP poll came out in August, there was one glaring omission for me, and it was Mississippi State. I'm sitting there looking at and I'm going, how is Mississippi State most experienced returning in the entire conference as far as snaps played by the people in there too deep? And then they've gone out and they've proven it, and you're right, to some degree, and we could say this about a bunch of people, that maybe they haven't played the level of competition that would truly define what they are. But my question is, we know they've got a quarterback. We know they've got playmakers. They're a big physical team on defense. When they have to and they get into league play, are they going to be willing to attempt to run the football to stop people from just playing a free man front, dropping eight, and saying, hey, we dare you to run it on us? Because generally that's not been what he wants to do. He's a true air raid guy. But at some point or another, if they give it to you and you got a light box, start running it. And that's going to be the question for me when they start playing better competition.
Tom Luganville, he will be on the call of Ole Miss and Georgia Tech. What do you think of Ole Miss before you go?
You know, it's interesting. 27 transfer portal guys. And, you know, it's tough to see where they're at with Troy and then Central Arkansas. But I think not only do they have one quarterback, I think they've got two quarterbacks. And that's one of the reasons why Lane Kiffin's been playing both of these guys, because they've both earned it. They've both deserved it. And they probably feel like they could win with both. And one of them needs to start taking the reins and leading to the forefront. Zach Evans is a difference maker at running back, the transfer from TCU. They've just done a really good job in the choices that they've made in the transfer portal. How much do we know about them? I still think it's too early to tell. You know, Lane Kiffin this week said that there's a lot of firsts. You've got all of these guys coming in the transfer portal. Now you're trying to get them acclimated to how we do things. So here's our first road game. Well, how do we do things on the road? And so you're trying to bring all the pieces together in a short period of time and then put a product out there that competes. So I think they're talented, probably the most talented roster he's had since he arrived there. And it's likely because of some of the decisions they've made in the transfer portal. And the transfer portal has risks. But if you do your homework, you can improve your football team fairly quickly. I think they've done that.
Well done, Tom Luganville. Thanks for dropping in. We will take a short break. We've got a busy show with Mandel and Mike Leach and Tom. We're not done yet. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Some of you may have just heard me, may have missed me say that because we had some radio people that had not gotten on board. But I just mentioned that Legend has tweeted that he will be on, what time is it, 4:30 Eastern. He'll be on in 90 minutes to respond to Coach Golden's father. So I know the entire East and West Coast will be tuned in to hear Legend's response. Let's get back to the call. And Bob is in Fort Worth. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, afternoon, Paul.
Howdy.
The whole world's falling apart. Alabama's falling apart. Texas pulled A&M pulled a bonehead move, got their butts back. I just think, what's the chances, Paul, of this A&M deal just being a one-off, not paying attention to what was going on around the deal?
I think it's possible, Bob, except for this. And I listened to the experts very closely, and what you heard from Tom Luganville, and you heard this from I think it was McElroy yesterday, is that they were really beaten physically, and that's a little bit scary. And I think in Alabama's case, I think maybe there's a little more truth and a lack of attention, hostile environment. But in A&M's case, you know they're going to be ready to play this week, and they weren't ready to play last week. But can that mask all the problems? Can that mask the incredibly subpar quarterback play? We'll know very quickly in this game.
Well, there's no question the talent's there. Now, the choice of quarterbacks, I didn't get to any practices and or watch these kids play, but the kid from LSU is pretty good. But then they got the best quarterback in the nation, five-star, right, sitting there, redshirted. I mean,
Bob, let me offer this, and the easiest thing in the world for people in my business to say, and I hear it every day, is, you know, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the experts. I'm out of practice, and the coach knows more than I do. You know what? I don't agree with that. I have seen cases where the coach spent the entire offseason deciding on a quarterback. That guy gets hurt second or third week. The other guy comes in and leads them to championships. The coaches are invested in their own agendas, and sometimes their own agendas are wrong because they see something in a guy that may not be the right. You would think it's the right thing, but it's not always the right thing. As crazy and as convoluted as that may be, the reason I bring this up is it's for a year or two, Jimbo Fisher has been all over Haynes King. And this is his guy. So you're always going to go a little deeper and farther for your guy. Now, it's not like the other guys aren't his guys, but remember one more thing, and I'll be quiet. Last year, the excuse all year long was, you know, Calzada was a backup. Can you imagine what we would have been had Haynes King been there? Well, we're seeing that
right now. But look, I'm not as bent out of shape as Legend was yesterday. But I'm here to tell you, there are some eyebrows raised. I've had several phone calls, and I'm nobody who gets to make any kind of decisions at A&M. But I went to school and room with one of those guys, and there are some eyebrows raised. Jimbo better.
Here's the scary part. There's no doubt that App State is a good program, but App State and Miami both are not among the top four or five games on A&M's schedule this year. So
no,
that's the scary part.
If they lose to Miami, come Saturday, they're liable to go 1-5.
Yeah, no, I agree. I said on the show that we just played the clip from, I said this was a must-win game. I don't mean must-win in any terms other than a loss could create an absolute collapse. And that's when the real problems start. This is not emotion talking here. You're a very realistic fan. And if Jimbo loses this season, he's got problems because – it may be difficult to hold recruiting together and credibility together.
Well, he'll have more holding a team together if he loses this season.
I'll say this too, Bob. Even with a win, he's still one game behind. But he's better than being two games behind.
Right. With the talent they have on that team, they shouldn't have any problem with Arkansas. And I know everybody's on the Arkansas bandwagon, and I think the coach at Arkansas, I'd like to sit down and drink cold beer with him.
You would.
I think he's probably a hell of a good filler.
Yes.
But Arkansas doesn't have the talent that A&M does on the field.
And Bob, I've been in Arkansas twice in the last 12 days, and I would say to my friends out there, quit talking about the Alabama game. The A&M game is going to
–
A&M is a little bit more important right now. Hey, thank you for the call. It's always great to hear from you. Augie is in New Orleans. Augie.
Hey, Paul, what was going on with Mike Leach? He sounded like he was in a TB ward or something. He was hacking and coughing. He was slurping on his snot. I mean, can you get the man some Nisomax or something?
I'm not an ENT, but I would diagnose Mike as having some – he either has a deviated septum, he's got a chronic cough, or he's got some condition more serious than that. I hope it's not – I hope it's one of the first two, because he does cough a lot.
My God, it sounded like you were in a UN refugee camp or something with all that hacking going on. Hey, cell phone service. Now, that proves everything I've always said about Starkville. They're so far out in the woods, they don't have good cell service. So next time you need to give them a landline, because he obviously...
Yeah, you're right. By the way, do you have a landline?
Yeah, I do, because we use the internet, and I need
Augie, we do too, and I know I'm going to sound ridiculous saying this because we've lived at this place for almost 9 years. I do not know my home number.
Well, we don't really use it much, so it's probably one of the things we could kill. But, Paul, I told you yesterday you were going to have a lot of snow based on your call by Coach Golding. Have you read everything that's out there?
I have not. I know I've seen the article in AL.com because that guy called me last night. And the funniest thing that came out today on the Boston radio station, Toucher and Rich.
Yeah.
Have you heard? I heard a couple of minutes of it.
Yes.
These guys, they did about a 17-minute bit on Legend and Legend's Call. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, they described Skip Golding as, this guy's out there probably with his overalls on and no shirt.
Should I be inside? By the way, these guys are, like, genuinely considered probably the best sports show in America. They're the number one show in Boston, which is a big sports town, in case you were wondering. With the Yankees in Boston playing last night, you have the Patriots in turmoil. They devoted 20 minutes to Legend this morning. One more thing on that is they describe Coach Golden's father as if he sounded like he was a regular Feinbaum caller.
Exactly. And one of the things that Skip didn't do himself any favors on, when he asked you, Paul, do you want ignorant people calling, giving their opinion on stuff they know nothing about? I told you
that was funny. I have to admit.
We all are, myself including. I'm an ignorant moron who knows nothing about football, yet I'm going to give you my opinion. But there's a lot of people out there that are criticizing Legend for what he said. Again, I'm not a Legend fan. But what are these people? They've now become part of the cancel culture. They want to cancel people's opinions.
But you heard me last night, and I don't care who calls in, whether it's Nick Saban's wife or Skip Golding. I am going to defend the callers. Nobody is immune. I believe in that. You know that, Augie. And thank you for the call. I-Man is up next.
My! What a mess we've got now. We had week zero, week one, week two, and look at the turmoil. Look at the turmoil, Paul Feinbaum. Look what you have done. You do it year in, year out, and all you do is take calls. Paul is, you know, it's always fascinated me, and we're going to go back a few years. I got a lot of threats over the air. Everybody's going to kick my butt. Everybody's going to put their finger in my eye. They're going to punch my brains out. And you know, It always comes every year. Are you going to have to put together a crew of callers and go out and start whipping ass and taking names for all these threats these people make to your caller, to your show?
Well, my posse is now under attack. I mean, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know. And you know,
well,
I had half your posse attack me.
Yeah, but right, I remember that day at that Jocks event. You and was it K-Dub that got into it?
Yeah, K-Dub. And I mean, you know, I didn't back down from him, and he didn't back down from me. He kind of walked away, but I mean, we was toe-to-toe.
No, I thought we were about to do a remake of West Side Story.
Well, it was for real, and I tell you this, both of us was going to bleed. That's the bottom line on that.
Blood was going to fall, and I was going to I was planning on getting out of there as fast as possible so I didn't have to be interviewed by the police.
Yeah, and I got a glass of tea and a sandwich for all of that, too. And you know, but you know, I'm ready to link arms with the callers here because I'm kind of sick and tired. This is a talk
show.
Well,
you know what? You know what I mean? If I could say this, the only person that seems to be down on Legend right now is that grumpy guy from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and he's always grumpy, and he made comment. You know, when I used to play ball and talk, he never played ball. He might have played with some, but he never played. And you know, all of this going on, why is it that all of these people are so overwhelmed on a talk show? I got to go beat his brains out. I got to do it now, Mommer. I mean, if you can't listen. Well, I mean, the same thing with O. Updike. If you can't listen to a talk show and take it for what it is and then call in and respond, I mean, all this macho, egotistical, badass stuff don't mean squat to me or any of these callers. I know most all these callers, and it doesn't mean anything. We hear you talking, but when it comes down to it and you start looking people in the face, you realize these are pretty good old guys. Whether you check them or not, these are pretty good old guys. But I just, it baffles me. Somebody has got to call in and clear their throat and hark and spit their moisture all over the place and show you their tattoo that says Mommer. And then I got to beat you up. You talking, I got to beat you up. You don't like my team, I'm got to thump you. I got to thump you. Hogwash. Or that legal Paul Feinbaum.
Up against the break. We're coming back with so much more of this excitement.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Jim is up next.
Yeah, Paul, I tell you what, you know a little bit about what I've done as a ball player. You know that, and you've heard enough to know that I played pretty good ball, and I won't go any further bragging. I don't need to brag. My record's there. People that know me and know what I did before I got hurt, they know what I can do and what I did. But what gets me, Paul, is you call me grumpy, and what you do, you know I played. I know you didn't play. I know that
okay,
guitar
Jim,
player.
Jim, if I could ask you a question, yeah, you're right. I didn't play. So give us what's the last?
Nah, will you let me finish?
What's the
part?
Last game you played in college or professional sports?
I'm not going to answer any. I want to finish a point. You won't let a person. You get. That's what gets me. You won't let people that you know got something good to say that can counter what you said because all you're doing is breeding these idiots that lie.
Well, Jim, these idiots are pretty well known right now. Legend.
I'm pretty well known. You know anybody more famous on this show than me?
Well, Legend certainly. I would say Legend's more famous than you are.
I know you'd say that. I know you'd say that because you breed people like him.
No,
Jim,
I'm not breeding. Tutcher and Rich is one of the top sports shows in the country today. Spent 15 minutes talking about Legend.
They did that probably to show him up for what he really is, and that's
not really.
A liar.
They're in a.
He's just look, Paul. There's a lot of people that didn't play any ball that can be blowhards. You got a president number one doing that every day. But I'm trying to talk.
Jim,
to
I just asked
talk.
You a simple question. What was the last?
I got something to
and
say.
And the location of the last game you played in.
At Leeds, Alabama, post 34 baseball. The night I got injured, that's where I played last.
What was that again?
Let me finish. I played much golf since then. I had a guy back me. You
what
know
was
me
the
finish?
Last time you made the cut in the Masters?
You know what, Paul? You really are a lousy thug saying interrupting. You take up for callers, but you don't.
Jim,
take up
you
for callers.
You called
you're
in
the,
and accused me of not being able to. You said
you're,
I'm not an
you're
athlete.
You're a supreme hypocrite. You talk. You can't talk over me. All you can do is lie.
I don't think it's
That's
really a difficult question
lies,
to tell me.
And you are a liar, Paul.
Give
you
me
really
the.
You are a liar. You used to have a decent show. You don't have nothing decent because you're not decent. You have no character. You're a lowlife. You're a liar, and you back up and breed liars. Every day of the show. Every day.
The name,
number
the,
one, Legion.
The location and date, Jim, of the last game you
number
played.
Number one, you breed people like Legion.
Location and date.
Never
what year
nothing.
Did you? What
they
was your last?
Like the guy said.
I just want to know.
Like
don't you
want
to know? Don't you
want to
know?
He knows nothing.
Where was
about
your
ball.
Last game and what was the date? That's all I'm
not,
asking
I'm not
you.
Answering you. You're not interviewing me, you damn idiot. You're not interviewing me. You're not capable of interviewing me. You're not capable of it.
You're
just a nasty old man. You're a nasty old man. You're going to reap what you sow, because the Bible says people like you reap what they sow.
I'll ask you one more time, Jim, the location and date of your last game.
I don't owe you any explanation about my life, Paul.
The one who said, you know, I played. I don't know what you played, Jim.
No, well, you've heard from people.
I haven't.
About my
Tell
career.
Me, you've where, had them on where, the show where was it people and when? That's all I'm asking.
Well, I've already, I don't need, I, you,
was
you,
it in the World Series? Was it in the Super Bowl? Was it in the Sugar Bowl? Was it in the PGA Championship? The British Open? I have no idea.
Oh, see, you make these stupid-ass remarks because you know I was injured, but I would have.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.